marching on. That's what we want to keep doing, don't we? We appreciate that. Appreciate Jeff for welcoming everybody. Dwight, you did a great job. And certainly the reading of the scriptures this morning, and Jeff, and also his prayer. We're thankful. We have brethren that love the Lord, that love the Lord, and sisters who want to work in harmony with God's will. Be excited about the work of the Lord. And this harness that I'm wearing, I'm surely hoping that maybe this week I can get rid of it. I don't know why they put those white things on the back of my... But you'll have to put up with it. Maybe that's some kind of a reminder that these straps are for some reason, but you don't have to know the answer to all of it, I guess. I want to talk with you for a little while this morning about something that's so important to us. Now, in your Bible, as you turn, just as Dwight read for us this morning, I think one of the things that people need today is to remember this. When God speaks, we need to remember that God is serious. He really is. In this particular account, you find that there's a couple here in the church in Jerusalem, a man and a woman. I don't know how old Ananias and Sapphira was. I should have asked Al. Maybe he could have told me. But anyway, we know they were old enough to have a possession. They were married. And you know what? Most married couples usually, hopefully, will just sit down and they'll meditate and they'll think about, and especially when it comes down to maybe their contribution to the Lord. Can you imagine a couple actually being so persuaded and thinking that they could plot out a scheme and they could run that scheme to be able to be exalted and praised for being very hospitable and a couple that's giving everything the land brought? Deception. We'd like to think that we Christians are always the Christians we're supposed to be. But of course, it isn't true. We'd like to think that the church is always the faithful Christian community it is meant to be. But of course, that's not always true either. Sometimes it's awfully easy to be disappointed in Christians and the church as well. It's awfully easy to find Christians and churches which give Christianity a bad name. Look, you've got members of the congregation that do this or do that. And they're members of the congregation where you are. What are you going to do about it? Are we going to preach to them? Do everything we possibly can? Preachers, elders, deacons, teachers. And sometimes we actually disappoint people. And some go so far to be so disappointing, especially with some of the sexual maneuvering and scandals, or the misuse of money, and being tied up in some kind of scheme is wrong. We read about a man in 3 John verses 9 and 10 that was in the church. And I'm sure not, I do not know that he was an elder, what? Except for the fact he was trying to control it. And John said, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, he names him, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and cast them out of the church. The church has a problem. People are in it sometimes. And sometimes those people bring great disappointment to the body of Jesus Christ. What a disappointment to God to learn of a couple who plotted together, who planned to scheme together, who agreed together to try to fool God and the brethren. Who were they? God said, put their names in there. Ananias and Sapphira. Members of the Church of Christ. Members of the Church of Jerusalem. Friends, Listen to what God says. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. They kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. They're giving, and they're giving for a cause. And that cause is to help men and women who are members of the church that do not have very much. And the Bible says, but Peter said unto Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Mark it down. Something was wrong with those two individuals. The Bible tells you it was their heart. And here we find that Peter said to Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Why have you allowed Satan to convince you that you can go through this scheme of plotting, a scheme of deceit, and thinking all things are going to be all right? It's not going to be. Sometimes you hear people say, Satan made me do it. Uh-uh. You did it because of the influence of Satan. He didn't make you do it. He can't make you sin. He didn't make Ananias and Sapphira do this. Yes, he had a scheme for them, and they listened to him, but they could have said, no way am I going to be a part of anything like that. And then Peter said to Ananias, Ananias, while it was in your hands, while it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto me, but unto God. Peter said, Ananias, why have you done this thing? And you've done it in your heart. Why? You've not lied unto men, only but unto God. You look what happened to it. And then Ananias hearing these words fell down. I don't know. Did he have a heart attack? I don't know. I know something that it was from God. And the Bible said, as soon as he hears these words. Can you imagine that? Now it's all in the open. The thing that he and his wife did. And immediately, what happens? The Bible says that he fell down and he gave up. He died. And look what happened. Great fear came on all of them that heard these things. Can you imagine people talking about this? Can you imagine all the members of the church saying, can you believe this? Guess what? It's not the end of the story. In about 3 hours, in the space of about 3 hours, after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in, and Peter answered to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. It didn't tell us how much that amount was, but Peter used the amount that Ananias had told him. The scheme is about to unravel. She's been one who gave in to that allowing Satan to hurt her heart. Cause her. And here's what she said. Yep, that's right. That's how much we got for the land. Now listen to what Peter said. Peter said unto him, how is it, let me just paraphrase a little bit here, how is it that a husband and wife, two people that are members of the Church of Christ, two people who have been baptized, two people who are supposed to be outstanding members of the church, you're giving something to help the poor, and how then could you want something from the people that you really do not deserve? And that is to be praised for what you've done, what you haven't done. How is it you have agreed to tempt together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Guess what? Both of them heard something before they died. They knew their sin. They had concocted this thing, and they were doing it for deceit. And now then she hears before she dies, "Behold, the feet of them which have bare thy husband are at the door, and they shall carry thee out." And then immediately she fell down at his feet. And she yielded up the ghost. And sure enough, the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. Oh, aren't there a lot of questions? Why didn't the Lord give them a little additional time? Why was it that God was so severe with them? There are other people that have lied that are members of the Church of Christ that He didn't strike them down dead. Why? With Ananias and Sapphira. You remember this at the beginning of the church? A little leaven, the whole lump. And the congregation of God's people to be pure. And you know what, my friend? The Bible says, "Then she fell down straightway at his feet immediately and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead and carried her forth and buried her by her husband." Two people out of that church. Two people that day, male and female, they're dead. Why? They didn't have to be. Why was this account of a man and a woman, a husband and wife, given by God? I want to tell you, I believe. So that God's telling us, you better take me serious. And you are an example before others. And if you do not measure up, here's what happens. I am serious, God says. Look at it. The end result is that the Bible says great fear came upon all the church, every one of them. Every one of people, all of that whole group, they found out about it. Both man and woman now are out there in the cemetery. Both of them dead. Why? They didn't take God seriously. Do you take God serious? Do I take God serious? I tell you, when you look at, not only is that true, but the Bible says fear came upon as many as heard these things. People not even members of the church are hearing about members of the church that were dead now. Immediately, why? Because they lied. They had a scheme. They plotted together. And God brings about their certain death. You got to remember something about Ananias and Sapphira. Can you imagine when you're talking among brothers and sisters and there's a great need and here comes a man who, for example, Joseph, who is called Barnabas, and the Bible says that he went out and he had a piece of land in Acts chapter 4. And what did he do? He sold it. And what did he do? He brought every penny of it. He laid it down at the apostles' feet. You can hear brethren and sisters who find out about that. Wasn't that a wonderful act? And obviously Ananias and Sapphira wanted that kind of commendation. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible tells us that early disciples, they went out and whatever they had, they'd sell it. Why? Because there was a great need among those who are members of the body of Jesus Christ. And in Acts 2, 44 and 45, distribution was made to those that were in need on the basis of that which was given by people that were really, truthfully, honestly wanting to help out. They made no bones about it. They gave it. And no wonder in the case of Ananias and Sapphira. These people who were now receiving all this praise, and Ananias and Sapphira probably thought, boy, sure we'll be good, but we don't want to give everything that we got for the land. We'll just pretend like it brought so much and that we've given it all. And boy, won't brethren be really commending us. Friends, I want to tell you something. They plotted to deceive. They agreed. It was all premeditated. And these people now had to pay the ultimate price. And that price was for the appearance of something that wasn't due them. Boy, that can get anybody in trouble. They intended to deceive the apostles. Peter told them, You're not lying just to men, but you've lied to the Holy Spirit. Now notice it. The land was theirs, Ananias, for his own use. The money was his to control. No one is told. They were not told that everybody has to give everything that they have sold their land for. They could have said, here's our land. It brought $70,000. We need some money ourselves. We're going to keep $20,000 and we'll give the other $50,000. That would have been easy. Because nowhere did you find, God told them, they have to give 100%. That was their own making. And that was really the basis of their sin. Both Ananias and Sapphira are dead. Two members of the Jerusalem church will no longer be there. Two members of the church died instantly because they lied to God. And I thought it was real interesting, too, in the introduction of the Mosaic dispensation. Something similar to this happened. Ananias and Sapphira, now as the church is just came into existence, now it's in its infancy. Here's what happens in the church. God wants it very clearly known. I will not tolerate sin. Be serious. Listen to me. And here is an example of what Nadab and Abihu in the beginning of the Mosaic dispensation. You remember in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, the Bible tells us that there are these two men who were priests of God. They offered strange fire unto the Lord, which the Lord did not command. Don't ever offer God anything that God does not command. Make sure that what God commands, that's exactly what you're giving. No more, no less, nothing else. They took fire from someplace which God did not authorize, and they themselves were burned by that fire. They died. I thought it was real interesting. In the outset of the Mosaic dispensation, now in the outset of the gospel dispensation, God wants people to be serious. Because you see, what He says is surely going to come to pass. I want three things to observe with. Fear God. We talk about that. Are we taking God seriously when God tells us to fear Him? It doesn't matter what other people might say or do to you. But do you really fear God? Now listen. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 2, that thou must fear the Lord thy God, to keep all His statutes and His commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. What's God saying? Be serious. What's God saying? Fear me. In Acts 10, verse 2, a devout man Cornelius was, and one that did what? Feared God with all of his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Acts 13, verse 26, men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Who? Men and brethren, all of you, you Jews. Take God seriously. In Romans 3, verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Do we have people in America who have no fear for God? But boil it down a little bit. Do we have members of the church? Do we have elders and deacons and preachers and teachers who have no fear of God? What is one of the cardinal things that God teaches? Fear me. In 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Listen again. In Hebrews 10, verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I'll give you an example. Ananias and Sapphira. Nadab and Abihu. What a fearful thing to fall in the hands of God. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11, verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Why did Noah build an ark? Why did he build an ark? Ask these young children that's in Matt Taylor's class. Boy, does a super job. I'm asking you, friend, us who are older, do we fear God? Ananias and Sapphira were members of the Church of Christ. They were people that had money. They were people that did something horribly. They plotted. And they wanted the praise of men more than the praise of God. He moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Hebrews 12:28. Wherefore, we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and with godly fear. Everybody here at O'Neill, why are you here? Why am I here? Why am I preaching? Why are these men serving as elders, as deacons, as teachers? We fear God. We want to make sure that our lives are in harmony with God's will because we truly realize that God wants us to serve Him acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason that is in you with meekness and fear. You just can't get out of it. Every verse of Scripture, one after the other. In Revelation 14, verse 7, the seventh, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him. For the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Number two, not only are we told to fear God, and here's an example of Ananias and Sapphira. Do not let the example of others who disappointed God hinder us from being faithful. Don't let somebody else mistake cause you to make something similar. What if those people in the church at Jerusalem, what if those people said, well, if that's the way it's going to be, I'm not going to serve the Lord. I want to suggest to you that King Saul made a horrible mistake. When God told him to go down and utterly destroy the Amalekites in 1 Samuel chapter 15, he didn't do what God told him. You know the end result. He was rejected from being king. Nadab and Abihu that we spent just a few moments ago, not only is that Diotrephes that we told about, and Ananias and Sapphira, look at the example after example. Don't let other people who become hypocritical, who do something that would be hurtful, disappoint you, don't let them be the cause of you quitting and not serving God. Boy, talk about a woman that was very wicked, Jezebel. Nahab told Jezebel all that Elijah has done, and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Jezebel doesn't like what's happening, and what does this woman do? She takes it in her own hands. How dreadful. Number three, never plot to sin. Never get together. Now, by yourself, don't do it. When you sit down, you start meditating about it. Why is it that we have to be so careful anymore making sure the doors are locked? Because there are a lot of people that break in and steal. Why? Who are these people? Be surprised sometimes to find out who they really are. The rich man, he was blessed so abundantly in Luke 16. And what did he do? He said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger barns because I want everything to help me. Jesus said in Matthew 23:23, don't be a hypocrite. In Matthew 7, verse 12, whatsoever you deal with that men should do unto you, do ye even so unto them, for this is the law and the prophets. Let's take God seriously. Number one, what about your attendance? Why you come? How many times people miss church services? Why do they miss church services? Well, I was sitting there and I was thinking about that question, and sometimes they miss because they're too sick to come and they can't come. That's understandable, isn't it? Then there are times when the family, someone in the family is sick, and they are needed to take care of those that are sick. That's good. that they would be willing to help them. But what about these? We had company. They came in. And we didn't come. Or, I had this over at El Bethel when I preached up there of a lady that didn't show up that morning. And I asked them, I said, where's Ms. Weiser? And the response was, oh, she's home cooking dinner for you, the preacher, and the family. And I'm not telling you a lie. This is truth. I think, Tommy, she had about 15 or 20 different desserts. I mean, that kitchen was full. And when I found out, I was a young man at that time, and I thought, what am I going to say to them? Jennifer, what would you say? Oh, boy. You mean you sit home and fix dinner for me? And is that? Oh, boy. No. I'm the cause of somebody staying home because I'm coming to their house to eat. I can eat just a hot dog if you want to. We got microwaves. Throw it in the hot. That'd be fine. My Lord. It's so important. God is so good. How can any one of us use all kinds of excuses? Long time ago, you hear people say, I didn't make it because it was too far to walk. You don't hear people walking up to church services, do you, Will? Today, hardly, except maybe across the street. Some people can't walk. But what kind of excuses when they can get in the car and they can be there? But they made the choice not to come. But I want to tell you something. I'm as bad as you are at not getting here on time. Why do we, I was telling this in my class, coming down Highway 72, and we always want to try to get by the place where the Catholics are. They have a patrolmen out there, and boy, when they start getting out over there, they'll just let everybody. I said, where's the end of all of this? You know, you got maybe to get over here from there, and what happens to? Well, I've got an answer already. And that is, David King came to me after services a while ago, and he said, Brother Guy, he said, there's another way to come. Guess what? There really is. He's told me another way to get over here, and he says, actually a little bit closer, and then you'll miss all of that. But you know what, like, I think it was Joyce that suggested in our class this morning, I think the best way is for me to leave a little bit earlier. Why not just leave a little bit? Sometimes there's something going to come up, you can't help it. But let's all make, this is the Lord's business, this is the Lord's house. We're coming to the Lord. I do better. Yes, take serious attention to your attention to the Lord. Hebrews 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. We have together with us today Sister Winnie Tennyson. And guess what? She just turned 97 just about a month ago. And you know what she told me back there this morning? Got some friends or some relatives with her. She told me as she looked at me, I had the biggest grin on her face, and she said, I'm sure looking forward to 98. Now, isn't that a great attitude? That attitude ought to be expressed by all of us, by where we're going to worship, thanking God that we can be there, and giving God the praise and do something about it. What we do in worship to God, let's make a change. You know what? This old-fashioned way of doing this is all old-fashioned. We talked about that a little bit from Jeremiah chapter 6 this morning. Stand ye in the way and see, and ask for the old paths. Do we need a change? Oh, as far as rotation, whether you have the Lord's Supper first or last, etc., the elders can make a decision based upon the need of the congregation. What I'm saying to you is this, beloved. You don't have that much time left. None of us do. What we need to do is take life seriously, making sure that everything we do is in spirit and in truth. John 4, 23 and 24. And let me emphasize the last point. Live the kind of life that you'd be pleased with if you fall down dead of a heart attack. Or if you're killed in an automobile accident. If your time comes instantly, be ready to go. Why? Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The modernist says, I'll do it my way, but God said, I'll do it my way too. Ananias, Sapphira, both in their graves. You know what they learned? They learned that they ought to take God seriously. And I'm trying to learn that. And I hope and pray you will in every aspect of our lives. Try to do the very best that we can to serve God faithfully. So the end of Ananias and Sapphira will not be the same end for us. That's why God wants you to take Him seriously when it comes to obeying the gospel. Do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you willing to repent of your sins, confess His name, and be buried with your Lord in baptism to rise up and walk in new life? Somebody says, I'll do it, I'm going to do it soon. Who knows what's going to happen even today or tomorrow? And somebody says, don't say that to frighten me, but I want to frighten you. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we do what? We persuade men. We motivate men. We tell them that God really is serious. That's why you need to be faithful. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. Revelation 2 and verse 10. Ah, the story of Ananias and Sapphira was written in that book for a reason. And we can see the lessons that we glean from that book that God has told us this can happen to you. Listen to me and do my will is the will of God. You're here this morning, you're not a Christian. Don't leave the building as one who's never been baptized. Won't you listen to the Lord? And if you're an erring child of God, won't you repent and ask God to forgive you? The wonderful invitation of Jesus is yours. What will you do with it this morning? What is if this is the last service that I'll be preaching? Or the last service I'll even live? What if it's the last service that you're attending? I pray to God that we're ready. Because it'd be a terrible thing to die like Ananias and Sapphira. Die as a child of God. As one who is righteous before the Lord. We're singing this song to encourage you. Won't you come and obey? And while together we stand.